But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an chasm where results are compelled with Apostle Epher Emmanuel. As we behold God's word today, we become the true reflection of His word. You will be blessed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we put those hands together for Jesus? I want to celebrate our fathers in the house, the chaplain and the dean of student affairs. Thank you so much. Thank you. It's an honor to have you with us. Can we celebrate them again? There is a very strong demand upon our generation, and time is not on our side. It is important that we look and emphasize on the things that carry weight in the world of spirits, so that we can isolate substance out of the noise that currently bedevils our generation. When we gather like this and elders decide to decorate our meetings with their presence, it goes a long way to show us the mercies and the favors God has given to us. When you don't have elders, you are without reference, you are without guidance. And so their presence here, for me, it goes a long way to prove that God is intentional about this convergence. So one more time, let's celebrate them again. Please, while we are still standing, pray for 30 seconds. Lord, whatever you must open my eyes to, whatever burden you must put upon my soul, whatever I must know so that I align with your purposes for my life, open my eyes to them. Speak, drop it in my heart as I listen, and let nothing resist your word for my destiny, even this afternoon. Go ahead and pray quickly. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 You may be seated. God bless you. I also want to celebrate the leadership and everybody who have put their hands together to make this meeting a success. Let's just celebrate them. Amen. Today, my area of emphasis is consecration. Consecration. However, before I go into that, I'd like to do a little touch on the general theme, which will help us put consecration in perspective. The theme is emergence, which is the mother theme for this conference. And for the sake of those of us who are writing, let's take a definition very quickly. Emergence is the act of rising out of concealment or envelopment. Emergence is the act of rising out of concealment or envelopment. Reason why such terms were used is because of the strategy put in place by Satan as regarding any child of God, any son of light who will attempt or who would manifest in time. You will bear in mind that the challenge has never been arrival. The challenge is manifestation. You would see over and over again that as long as the purposes of God are concerned, as far as you are living in sin, as long as you are living in one compromise or another, there is no spirit that is interested in attacking your life. Once you comply with their ways, once the systems of this world have civilized you, once you are conformed to the mold of this rebellious civilization, you will not be an enemy of anything. If there is anything, they will aid you. They will help you to become a functional ambassador of their corrupt government. This is why the way of iniquity looks prospering. But you only need to tarry long so that you can see the end of the sinner. Because when you see him in the morning, he looks blossoming. Return in the evening and he has withered. But we don't return. It's only Solomon that said, I returned and I saw under the sun. You will need to return. Follow the story long enough. You know, a Yahoo boy just gets up one day, buys two bens, and he becomes an apostle. They invite him for committees and he's the chairman. They don't follow. Have you seen any Yahoo man? They don't even know. So emergence is the act of rising out of concealment or development. The reason why we look upon these things before we go into concentration, and I hope to stay with me, we are not yet done, we will designate them to me. There are structures, strategies put in place to make sure that every son of Elohim never comes into his true identity, and man is affected by an identity crisis. The crisis is not arrival. You can arrive. This is why many are called, but the challenge is how many can be chosen. You can arrive. They can give that to you. It's not a challenge. The real thing they are fighting is the real version of you entering it. This first version of you that will arrive. Oh, in this matter, everybody must be subjected to two bets. You will first be born biologically. That bet will give you a link to a biological family, give you a body, give you a legal ground to enter it. But that bet is not sufficient enough to bring your true capacity into power. There is another bet that the midwives of the spirit will orchestrate. They will continue to play different roles, trying to connect your feet to the womb of the spirit so that you can be born again. That being born again is the second birth. You open your eyes and there are some advantages you already found in your vessel. Maybe you open your eyes and you are strikingly beautiful. The temptation is to build your life around that economy and forget that the real you has not even arrived yet. This first one is a protocol officer. This version of you is the one that will receive the real you. The real you is prepared, is waiting until this one goes into the womb of the spirit. Then a more superior version of you. That is what being born again should have done for every human being. This is why they left the Holy Ghost in time as a technician, waiting to repair everybody who is broken. Many broken men, just because they have one or two advantages, they build their whole life on that fallen nature. Somebody will vow after this session. Somebody will hate. You will hate living carnally. You will hate living in the flesh. There are more advantages in God. Actually, your true identity is in Him. It's in Him we live. It's in Him we move. It's in Him we have our being. To have your being means your identity is factored in Him. You will not know who you are. Aye. Go back to Him. Go back to Him. You see, remove a shark from the water. Keep it on the ground. You will not know it's a dangerous predator. Because it is not in its element. You come and stay near the shark and say, what kind of lazy beast is this? He's not lazy. He has not entered his element. Let a monkey and a shark set a competition in the tree. The monkey is already advantaged because of the ecosystem where that competition was fixed. Man was designed to live in God. If you come out of God, you will be disadvantaged. And it is that disadvantage that somebody has been living from day one till today. From time to time, when you want to contemplate on eternal value, Satan will encourage you again with one small ability in the flesh. And say, remain here. Somebody will vow this afternoon. Vow! I refuse to continue to live after this order of weakness. Because actually what we have embraced is weakness. There's something this time is doing to my soul. God, give us utterance in the name of Jesus Christ. As soon as we all arrive, you will not have any influence, you will not have any control over the first birth. But the second birth is your own responsibility. You are the one that will submit yourself.
You submit yourself to the womb of the Spirit so that you can be reborn. That being reborn is when your true identity comes. It was such hallowed truth that Jesus was revealing through the baptism of John the Baptist. When Jesus went to submit himself to John for baptism, it was the concept of being born again, so that they take a full grown man and they immerse him completely into water, and his identity gets lost in the water, and momentarily you will look at the water and not see anybody. He died inside that water. Then they lift you up as another man. That period you stayed inside water, the water there, it's a typology of the word. The word of God so swallowed you that your identity got lost inside the word. Everything about you was reshaped. Everything about you was remodeled by the word. Then they brought a man furnished by the word out. When you come out, you are no longer the old man that went inside. You see, it is this requirement of due diligence to labor on the word until we are changed by it. This is what we lack as a generation. Not too many people labor on the word. Not too many preachers even stay on the word. To stay on the word is not for a sermon. You are not looking for something to preach. You want to become. Stay there. Sometimes one scripture for 1 week, you try to remove your heart, it continues to come. In the undertone of your imagination, it's like they put the scripture on a repeat. It's trying to reshape you. There is something in your life only that scripture can edit out. And it wants you to stay there, meditate on it. Day and night, scripture says, it has capacity to alter the program of darkness upon your life. Can I share something with you? If we are together and you are getting blessed, please say amen. The challenge with the first bet is that you arrive time looking like your ancestors. You will arrive time looking like the struggle of everybody before you. And there are bloodlines and family where various layers of captivity has been established within the span of time. When a spirit comes upon a man and uses the man to open the door for captivity. Maybe the man journeys in the corridor of fornication and lives, you know, a very, very careless and loose life. One of the things that will happen to his soul first is that he, being the person who participated, his soul will be mastered. But then his iniquity will not stay on him alone. His sin, since he's the priest of his own house, his sin will render the wall and the defense and the cover of his family, he will render it porous. So strange spirits will have a stake, a voice inside his household. Then you will give birth to children that will have proclivities and tendencies for iniquity from birth. Their own labor now, before they can say present to the call of God, they will need to undo many things that is the product of another generation. The same way, hey, the righteousness of the righteous can benefit his generation. That is how the sin of the sinner can cause a serious challenge for those who he bear. The Bible says, since I was born, now I am old, I have never seen the righteous forsaken. He is the one that is righteous, but there is something about his righteousness that impacted upon his seed. Nor his seed beg for bread. Many of us, to be honest with ourselves, our original religion, just go 4 generations backward, you will find somebody bowing down to something in your bloodline. The original religion of the average African is idolatry. And there are still families till today that they just have one leg in, one leg out with Christianity. The real thing they believe, anytime the rubber hits the road, they go back to what they really trust. And every time you strike an agreement with a spirit, there are terms of agreement. Whether your name is Deborah or you came that you are Barak, one with the gift of headship can enter and say, as for me and my household. When Joshua was saying that he didn't ask the household, it's because a man with the gift of headship can speak on behalf of others. This is why when you open your eye, the first thing is not to start running. The first thing is to initiate and find a time to set an appointment for the second bet. If not, everything you do in that energy of the flesh, it will continue to create more and more channels of captivity. There are families where lust, drunkenness, all kinds of traits, all kinds of tendencies. Sometimes be honest with yourself. You know, it was one of the philosophers, I think, in the 19th century, Socrates, he says, know thyself. Know yourself. There's no need to pretend. If you pretend for everybody, just be honest to your own self. Look inward and see the kind of thoughts that crosses your heart regularly. See the kind of appetites that are roaming free in the corridor of your heart. Then you will know what kind of battle you must engage so that you can answer the horns, the call, and the alarms that God is ringing in your soul. But many people, they cover up their sin, and he that covers his sin shall not prosper. In fact, your deliverance is not in an impartation. Your deliverance is in a reborn. That new version of you that can only come when the old die. In Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, it says, before I formed you in your mother's belly, before your father and your mother knew themselves, God says, I knew you. There is a version of you that predates time. There is a version of you older than time. There is a version of you time cannot limit. He says it is that version. That's who I knew. This one, that this thing you have become, he doesn't know this one. In John chapter 1 verse 6, he says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Verse 7, he says the same came. It's not this version. It's not this one. You know who you are at the moment. So let's be honest with ourselves. Is it really this person God sent into time? We will need to submit ourselves to the womb of the Spirit. We will need to be broken before him. Only you can bring my true identity into time, because there is a version of you that will not come until this one step out of the way. And you will see. You see, I'm sorry to say this, but when I have the time to interact with one or two Christians in my generation, my heart is broken by the kinds of messages that brought them to the cross. So they don't have any level of, you know, perseverance. They cannot bear anything. It is Santa Claus that invited them. So much gifts at the back of the man inviting them. Say, come to Jesus. He wants to do something good for, and you don't know that the call into this life is also a ticket for suffering. There are many things you will become in God that only by the pathway of suffering would you arrive there. You can't remove suffering from those schools. There are courses in the school of the Spirit. Only through suffering can you graduate. The moment you escape, you will go and register again. Sometimes you will suffer for you are almost going to pass the course. Then you will say, Kai, I'm not the only Christian. The moment you compromise, you will go back. And then it will look like God is not faithful. While the whole of this whole program is for your own good. Be careful the prayer you pray. Sometimes when you are telling the Lord, bless me, the blessing of God sometimes must take you through suffering. There are preparations God must take you through so that mammon does not master your soul. You see, this money we speak about is a spirit. It's a spirit, and there is no other spirit that God by himself gave you advice to choose between him and this one. Because actually you don't own money. If you are unsaved, you cannot own money. Money owns you. No man can serve two masters, he says, because mammon is a master. He is part of the principal spirits. You can't tame him. You think you have 2 million in your account. That 2 million have you if you don't have Jesus. Because you will realize the level of grip it has over your soul. The meditation you have concerning your 2 million in your account is stronger than your meditation for God. You wake up in the morning and you just see one small message from Zenith Bank. Your heart skips quickly. You go and check the account balance. Sometimes some people wake up just to go and check their account balance. That's the reason they woke up. I remember. I have to be honest with you guys. The first time I made 5 million, I had the money like this night. The whole of that night, I woke up 3 times. The first time I woke up, I just took my phone to remind myself that it's not a dream. That this money is really in the account. So I checked account balance. The thing showed there is a joy. A sense of security that is pseudo, is false. It's not true. So I went to bed. I woke up again. I thought maybe I was pressed. I was not pressed. It was money that whispered in my ear and said, wait, check again. The way I became restless. You know, it is easy to criticize people. It is easy to boast. Easy to become very vocal about your perceived worth of yourself. However, most times, wait until you stand there. Then you will know whether you have capacity. There is a difference between the temptation to sin and the opportunity to sin. If you don't have opportunity, you don't know whether you can overcome that temptation yet. Just come. There are people sitting here, you don't know whether you are a thief yet. Wait until you enter one office where you can just use biro. Just by one small thing you did like this, a billionaire can be missing. That was when you can say you are not a thief. And if Jesus wants to help you, he'll be fluctuating these two variables, temptation to sin versus opportunity to sin. And anytime he sees a temptation that can cripple your priesthood, he will not give you opportunity. This is what he said. Lead us not into temptation. But if temptation must come, deliver us from all evil. Because at the end of the day, any temptation you don't have capacity over, he will make sure you don't see it. And any temptation that reaches your end, they know you can overcome it. There are people, no matter how much they cry, prosperity is not your lot yet. You are not ready. And you know, God speaks from a place of sovereignty. He can add anything into your life and see your behavior immediately. And not wait until you do it. And he will use that wisdom to inform his judgment. Lord, give me a husband. And God saw that the moment they just did the palm, because the first thing they will do a prototype of that whole arrangement. Your version in the prototype began to misbehave. So they say, no. Let's not let this thing enter reality. There are people that are telling God that just try me and see. God say, I don't need to try. I've seen you. I saw you when I added it to you. I saw your behavior. There is nothing hidden from him. This is why at the end of the day, his gifts, his good, his blessings, they make rich and they don't come with sorrow. I feel I'm being distracted. Let's go to what we are supposed to do. Once you are born, your first preoccupation must be to labor until God orchestrates that appointment for the born again experience. Apart from being born again, there are two different versions of you that will experience this matter called manifestation. You will manifest first as flesh and blood. And every human being must come after this order. Not even Jesus was exempted. Your first manifestation is flesh and blood. And so when you manifest as flesh and blood, there will be an appointment in the spirit to make sure that you satisfy the requirement to step into your new version in God. And so since you manifest as flesh and blood, there is a second manifestation that the path of spiritual progress insists on. You must manifest in the volume of books. You will see Jesus after staying quietly learning the trade under his father Joseph. After everybody knew his sisters and his brethren. In fact, part of the challenge of his people in his own immediate environment was that they were offended at him because they said, is this not the carpenter's son? Don't we have his sisters and his brethren amongst us? From whence, where did you show up from and begin to speak to us as though you have been trained, as though something gave you a superior insight into life than us? Because in the days of Jesus, when you go to his particular place of residence, there was nothing spectacular that those guys have to say about him. This is why he could not do much signs and wonders, because of their unbelief. But although he came as flesh and blood, there was another manifestation. He returned in the volume of books. And so the same people who have gotten all kinds of feedback about the identity of this man, asked his relatives, asked different people, sent letters to different regions, and reply came back. They now came to him on the ground of whatever they have put together. You see? Who are you? They saw John baptizing people. They saw John teaching about baptism and rebuking the way of the sinner. They came to him too. They are one, you know, I told you, man is buffeted by an identity crisis. They also showed up and said, who are you? For John, he showed up first as flesh and blood. And his manifestation as flesh and blood only gave him an attachment to this identity. John, son of Zacharias, priest in Israel. That's all you can say about him. A moment came, he detached himself from civilization and went to live in the wilderness, eating locusts and tying sheepskin, camel skin rather. The next thing that was added to him again, John, son of Zechariah, black sheep of the family. Because in the way of priesthood, his child is supposed to be walking in his footstep. And so Zechariah is supposed to be mentoring John to continue as a priest. But this guy was not at home. You know what happened to John? He came back in the volume of books. So they showed up and said, who are you? This time he didn't introduce himself as I am John. He didn't introduce himself by the office of his father. Because many of us, that's all we have to brag about now. I am the son of... They say, who are you? You started... I am the son of... He says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. What was he saying? That was the prophecy of Isaiah. He returned after the volume of books now. So they looked at him and they said, who are you? His name got lost inside the volume of books. So there was a prophecy that his life was responsible to bring to pass. And that prophecy became his identity. He says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Jesus, after they have attributed all of this identity to him, he took the scroll on a certain day in the temple and read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Listen. While he was speaking, everybody was looking at him quietly. He closed it and said, today, this scripture has been fulfilled. I am the one that fulfilled this one. He returned in the volume of books. Oh, yes, you have showed up. You are already on ground. You are the third child of Mr. Sebastian. That is not your identity. You will have to return in the volume of books. There must be a scripture that resonates with your soul as your vision statement of your destiny. If you have not found that, you will most likely be a victim of many whims and caprices of Satan. There will be many impulses that will catch your attention. You must return in the volume of books. If you enter my sitting room, there is a scripture that is printed, framed. Any day I begin to lose touch with divine direction, I need to read it only once. I remember again who I am. For this cause, I came into the world. I have found my one scripture. Not too many things you will do with your life, but that which is your ordination, stay at it. I don't know. Have we done some justice to the concept of emergence? Let's go to consecration quickly. Let's pray for 1 minute wherever we are. Holy Ghost, help me. Order my steps. Shine your light of divine direction upon my destiny. Make sure you are talking to God. Please don't get tired. There are those of us already, the Holy Ghost is insisting right now, saying you need to submit to be reborn in me. I need to remold your identity. Come out of the world and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. Yeah. There are those of us, our prayer right now is, let no iniquity have dominion over me. Strengthen me from the inner man. For some of us, we already named the name of the Lord, but our feet is still glued to iniquity. Let any man that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. The agenda of darkness is to govern your soul through violence, so that the things you want to do, you will not see yourself doing it. Your natural disposition will not be obedience. Compliance will be far from you, so that you will constantly see yourself falling for things that you don't want. This is why we have gathered, so that the Lord can breathe, the Lord can put ventilation upon our soul, so that our spirit can be energized. If you are praying, please go ahead. 10 more seconds. Let no iniquity have dominion over me. Sense in my spirit that we pray some more. One more minute. Help my soul. Help my soul. Save me from the power of the dog. Help my soul. The whole world lieth in wickedness. Corruption is eating into the souls of men. There are spirits camping, making sure that we don't have spiritual consistency. You will need to cry. Save me. Let it be that after this conference, when you come down from this mountain, let it be evident that there was transfiguration. There was transfiguration. You became what you beheld. Reveal yourself to me, Holy Ghost. Listen. We would go as the Spirit leads us. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, the Bible said, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. If you are with me so far, say amen. That scripture is so clear. I think it's without need for any further clarification. Let us make man in our image. Let man also be made after our likeness. If these two things is on ground, that man will operate in dominion. So as soon as image and likeness is achieved, it says, let them have dominion. Satan showed up to man in Genesis chapter 3. Remember the two capacities God funneled into man. One is image
Number two, likeness. Please say likeness. When Satan came to man, what was the core of his transaction with man? He says, if you do this, you will be like. That like is presenting to man. Man was already created in the likeness of God. And so from time immemorial, the challenge of man has been ignorance. That the same thing he went to get was already with him. That same thing was why Satan came to him in the first place. That was what attracted Satan to him. Because Satan has seen sons of Elohim. He didn't think it was possible for any other creature to operate like God. But then he saw that the whole of the galaxy was willed to a small being. And so he came before the being. Who are you for that kind of ancient, proud spirit to come and be gisting with you? He started from a place of conversation. And he didn't come to Adam till man fell, till they drove him out of garden. Satan and Adam never said, hey. He waited until they removed the obsession of Adam's heart. They brought out his significant other, his wife. He didn't talk with Adam. He went to what Adam loves. In the day, Satan will buffet your soul. He will not come directly to you. He will wait until your affection is channeled towards something. He will build your fall around what you love. Till they drove Adam out, he didn't say A with Satan. It was Eve that had the dialogue with Satan. It will interest you to know that the devil is still operating in this same manner. He waits until your obsession is revealed. He is truly oblivious about many things about our life. So he waits until you can show him what you are obsessed about. This is why when your obsession becomes God, Satan can't do anything with you. Then he came to man and said, you will be like God. But man is already created in the likeness of God. Then man transgressed the law of God. Because all Satan wanted was for man to obey an alternative voice, contrary to the voice of God. Knowing fully well that it is whom you obey that you are a servant of. He understood the laws at work. The scripture says, know ye not that to whom you yield yourself, servants to obey. Servants you are to who you obey. So the test was the test of obedience, not disobedience. It was whose voice? If you obey Satan, Satan becomes your Lord. It is the person you obey that you are serving, not the person you are verbally professing worship to. You can be on your knees saying, I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But if your actions continue to be in tandem with the rebellious nature of the fallen world, your God is the prince of this world. This is why so many of us, our link with God is only on our lips. You draw near to me with your lip, but your heart is far from me, he said. Because he knows that where they find your God is not your lip. Your God is in your heart. All these things we say, you see, a sinner will take the whole day period exploiting various capacities, varieties, and shades of iniquity. Then in the night, he becomes a bit sober. Because there is something darkness does to the soul of a man. There is so much uncertainty with darkness. So he plays a Christian song first. Why the Christian song put an atmosphere in the room? He now put his two knees that are quick to iniquity. He put it on the ground. And say, Lord, if not for your mercy, where will I be? And the spirits that check, they are looking. The whole of that talk is here. The heart still yearns for iniquity. A brother met me. And because he knew that the person he committed fornication with had come to report herself to me, she came and said, sir, I will not hide it from you. See what we did. When the brother got a hint that report had gotten to me, he now showed up quickly and said, please, just listen to my voice and tell me from your own estimation whether there's repentance here. Sir, it has happened. So... to cut the long story short, it happened. So, what happened? He came with a beveled voice, which is a sign that he still enjoys what he did. And he wants to summarize everything to say, to save us both, you know, the whole burden of a very laborious explanation. So it has happened. I just felt it necessary to come and, you know, explain myself to you. But I've prayed, and God has given ventilation to my soul. So while he was speaking, there is still condom in his wallet. There is no repentance. No repentance. There are some of you make Satan's work so easy. Any day Satan is bored, he just remembers that there is one condom in that wallet. So let's put that into good use quickly. I was telling them in Enugu 2 days ago, I was telling them that Satan has a plan, and the plan is global. It's not for you alone. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2, the Bible says, behold, the darkness, not darkness, the darkness, that type that has covered the earth before, from the beginning of the creation account, they told you that at a certain point, darkness was the cover of everything. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2, he says, behold, the darkness. There's a difference between bring me a book. I think I've given this illustration here before. And bring me the book. If I say bring me a book, you are at free will to bring any book you want because it was not specified. If I say bring me the book, it means you are not at free will to bring just any book. There is a particular book. The scripture says, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Gross darkness shall cover the people. So they didn't ascribe darkness to people, but darkness is the people's challenge in this current generation. The real target, the real weapon deployed against the destiny of men is not darkness. It's called gross darkness. Darkness is for territories. Gross darkness is for people. When Satan is colliding with territories, he wants to shape a civilization to take a mold. He wants to make a particular iniquity to become a ruling culture. He wants to make sin to become a way of life. So much so that when you show up in a territory where darkness has covered and you want to live holy, you will be the odd one. Because everybody has been shaped by the shape of that principality that governs that space. When Satan wants to invade a space, his first agenda is not men, it's territory. When they colonize a territory, everybody under that territory is subjected to the climate that they tilt it to. And so from time to time, they will ring a horn. They will sound an alarm. And you will wake up as though somebody tap you just to go and commit masturbation. Because you are a victim of your territory. Your territory is shaping. There are places if you live for just 1 month, you will not recognize yourself when you come back to the brethren. Just 1 month. And in your own eye, you are overcoming every day. But you will be changing gradually. The space will be shaping you. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seats of what? Listen, let me share something with you. Atmosphere. Temptation first operates as an atmosphere before it becomes a suggestion. If you can avoid the atmosphere, the suggestions you will need to say no to will be very few. There are places, if you don't go to, the suggestions that are inherent in those places, you will never struggle with. There are companies, if you don't keep, their way of life can never tempt you. The first agenda is to master spaces. The knot. You know, there is this conservative culture in the knot. Normally, whether you are born again or not, there is a way a northern lady will not dress. But if you travel around, you will now see the impact of what we are talking about, the shaping of territories as a signature of the spirits that rule those spaces. 2 weeks ago, I was in Ghana. And from the airport, it was obvious that, welcome to Ghana. You know, if Jesus don't help your soul, you will think you are a strong man. You are only strong in your space. When you enter another space, you will know why men have been bowing since. So the first thing I did, I had to bring out my speaker. and play a keyboard sound first. There are hotel beds. The moment your head touch that bed, if Jesus does not help you, the thoughts that will bombard your soul, you will not believe you are capable. It's not you. The place you keep your head is an altar. The same way Jacob kept his head on his stone and the heavens opened and he saw angels ascending and descending, there are many other things that can draw you into encounters. If a particular sin has been practiced in a particular space for a long time, that place becomes a high place. It becomes an altar that can summon a man into worship. Came to pass that a man retired from NNPC, got some, you know, huge cash for his gratuity, so he bought a brothel. That a place where prostitutes have been for more than 30 years. He bought it, removed the zinc sheets, put another aluminium zinc sheet, and screeded the wall and rubbed new paint. Aye! But the number of spirits that have been trafficking that space for the past 30 years, your paint cannot stop them. Came to pass that everybody who took accommodation in that space, it's from one quarter to another. Strange kind of, you know, it is immorality in a way that is abomination that is happening in that country till today. And so now if they bring anybody, the people who live around will wait until the agent move from you small. Then they say, we just want to advise you. Darkness that covers. And when you find yourself in a space where sin becomes a culture, the way Hollywood is deliberately trying to make premarital sex looks like dating. I just watching a movie. A guy and a lady just met. They went on the first date, you know, just got to know themselves. From the table where their food is, the next scene is the bed. Before you know it, subconsciously, they are rewiring you. You who now choose to live for Jesus, you will now start looking like you are overdoing it. They say, calm down now. What is trying to remake you and mold you into a shape is the darkness that covers the earth. At this level where darkness is covering the earth, no demon know you. Satan is not even aware of your identity. It is those who are able to overcome the excuse of their generation. Those who are able to pierce through that canopy of darkness that covers the earth. It is their identity Satan will know. And when you manifest, suddenly they go into the laps of darkness. They go and make a special weapon with you in mind. This is what it meant when he says, no weapon formed or fashioned with me in mind shall prosper. This weapon is not for everybody. It is you they studied. He said, who is this one that wants to defy the odd? Who is this one that goes against the tide? Everybody in your family is just living in wantonness, in all kinds of, you know, unguided appetite. Then only you wake up in the night. Man, they say, who is this? Who is this that does not behave like men? Because your ability to defy the excuse of your generation, it makes you visible. Suddenly, it is at that point they can say, Paul, I know. Because he has stepped out of the excuse of a time. The theme, the mother theme, is emergence. You cannot emerge until you are able to overcome this first layer that is for territories. They use this one to hide all the stars of God. So that in case they ever hear your name, you had passed the first test. You had overcome the excuse of your generation. Others may, but I cannot. He says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. Only now will I be with you. The moment you go against the current, you prevail over the excuse, the ruling culture of iniquity in your timeline. The moment that happens, they withdraw into preparing a weapon against you. That is when they go and study your forefathers. They go and check, how did that one fall? How did this other one fall? His own father. What is the particular sin that is the besetting sin in this particular bloodline? Then they concoct a temptation that has almost 99% success rate in everybody that has come before you. Now they are not interested in taking you through a roll call of sin again.
because they know that you have proved that there is another priesthood you want to bring into that space. So in order to undermine your standing, they go into making research as regarding what is your besetting sin. In Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1, it says, seeing that we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily beset us. Keep that one aside. Satan will no longer be interested in taking you through a roll call of sin. He doesn't want you to actually have different temptations again. He wants to attach one particular sin that is compatible with your lust and keep you struggling with that one sin until you die. So you can be clapping for yourself and say, thank God, I don't know the last time I fought. He's not interested in taking you through those variety of sin again. He has identified what your own obsession is. Those who lift the banner of Jesus in this generation, I'm rounding up, I'm aware. I'm joining gradually. The criteria is one. It's the same ancient criteria. The aptitude test is one. You can't escape it. You can't change the question. It's one. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand upon his holy mountains? He that has a clean hands and a pure heart, that has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Guess what? The only place you can sound the alarm for your generation, in Joel chapter 2, he says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm upon my holy mountain. How can you blow your trumpet? How can you sound this alarm God has put in your soul? The location to sound it is on the top of the mountain. Sound an alarm upon my holy. The location to sound it is not left to your creativity. They have spelled it out clearly. They say, this alarm, you can only sound it the day your feet touches the peak of this holy mountain. But how can you climb this mountain? Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand? You will be saying many things in the valley. Nobody will listen to you. Because the valley is not the place for utterance. You will say the same thing you were saying in the valley for many years, and it looks like you are a noisemaker. The day your feet stand on the peak of the mount, you will say those same things and nations will tremble. My sermon has not changed. This has continued to be the meditations of my heart, the burden the Lord has put upon my soul. My message is the gospel of deliverance, is the gospel of consecration, to bring men into alignment with God's demand for their life, and also to bring people into eternal remembrance. First, eternity past and eternity future. That you are older than time. You are manifested before this whole drama started. And when it is all done, we will still meet in eternity. When I speak about eternity, it's as though they pour fuel on flames. It is a realm that sucks me into it, because this is the message given to me. And when I speak it, I've been speaking it for many years. I'll be talking about it sometimes, and you'll see some people sleeping. I was still journeying. The moment my feet touched that mountain, nations that didn't know me from nowhere, suddenly invitations began to come in from various places. Suddenly, the people who refused to show up for meeting, then we gather, and then you see more than 1,000 people seated, waiting to hear the word of the Lord. The same gospel you are preaching, no different message, but where you are speaking from matters. The height you speak from matters. That God has put in your soul, that light that is supposed to reveal the glory of God to your generation, there is one agenda deployed to bury it, and it's called gross darkness. I want everybody to, in the next 2 minutes, you by yourself alone, do an appraisal quickly. What is the besetting sin that has been deployed to make sure you don't have spiritual consistency with God? In Mark chapter 9 verse 42, very quickly. Mark chapter 9
Verse 42. Maybe we'll start from 43. Let's save time. I think is it projected? Good. All right. So let's read together. Everybody. 1, 2, 3, go. Into the fire that shall never be quenched. Next verse, quickly. They are giving you more light about the place they call hell just now. What you find there, God forbid, is where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Next verse. Remember the first thing they say cut off if you find out that sin is always prospering through that channel. Is it if your hand curses, that is, it's not once. You sat down one day and you try to do an appraisal of the move and the storyline behind all your fall. And you find out that there is a particular pattern that plays out every time you fall. They say, if your hand curses, guys, if you find out that your hand has entered agreement with Satan in your back, and both of them are in a very good and healthy relationship, he said, don't accept that hand as part of you again. He will not change. And if he apologizes, he said, don't agree. Cut it off. I will explain what we are sharing now. The second thing he's talking about, he said, your leg. Is that in your Bible? We're talking about consecration. It's now we started talking about consecration. Huh? If thy leg, your foot rather, causes you to sin, causes again, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed rather than having 2 feet to be casted into hell, into the fire that shall never be what? Next verse. They will still tell you more about hell. They say, if your eye causes you to sin, plug it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye. There are a lot of people looking at me with anger right now. Rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire. Dot, dot. Next verse, quickly. Where their worm does not die and the fire is not... It came to pass that I was trying to light the gas on a certain day and I got carried away. And the flame now burnt me small by the tip of my finger here. The kind of pain I felt. You know, since I don't get to do most of these things by myself again, people help me out. I didn't know that fire, I forgot the kind of affliction that fire has capacity to communicate. So the kind of pain, it was as though there was pain in my chest. So I first had to off the gas first to go on fellowship with the pain briefly. Then something now whispered to me, said, but this is just the tip of your finger. This is only the tip of your finger. Then it now came to my mind that actually they did not design hellfire for man. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. Then you, as small as you are, you now decide that you want to go there. And there's no man that goes to hell because of sin. You, anybody who arrives hell is not because of sin, because the penance for sin has been paid for. Anybody who goes to hell now is because he rejected God's offer. He turned his back on this great salvation. In the day when he heard the voice of the Lord, he hardened his heart. The path of consecration. In salvation, God will draw you into his household and empower you with his spirit to live righteous. Consecration is your response to that empowerment. Consecration is deploying that enablement to live righteous. Within the corridors of consecration, there will be things that are not spelled out black and white as wrong, but they have capacity to lead you into sin. This is what the scripture is communicating here. It started first with your hand, your dealings, your transactions, your ability to get.
your engagements with your daily life routines. This is the first place the demand of consecration started from. If your hand, because it is this hand here is a metaphor. It is symbolic of your transactions. Everything you will need to do to bring resources and substance to your storehouses, it is what you do with your hand. It's called the works of your hands. That work of your hand, they say, if that your hand becomes a channel by which Satan is consistently drawing you into condemnation. Hey, listen. For some of you, your hand is already dragging you into strange places. Because of a curse. Because you want to pass a curse. You are ready to break any law. You are ready to do anything. You are ready to transgress any law. The Bible says it is better for that your hand to be cut off, so that you enter into the kingdom maimed, than to be thrown into fire completely. Please, if you are with me and you follow this concept of your hand, say amen. Amen. There are those of you, once you leave campus and you graduate into the labor market, you will now know the power of your hand. There will be many open doors, but it will come with a little question mark. There are many people that know things they can do that can translate into wealth, but because of the laws of God upon the tablets of their hearts, they are restrained. Hey, keep a table here and just put a table and put a picture of Buddha in the back. Keep 5 chairs. Go inside your shop and sit down. It will be like they sounded a horn. Your customers will come by themselves. They will come and sit down. No beer, no matter how the economy of Nigeria has become, no beer parlor is losing market. They are booming. During Obasanjo's time, I read in the newspaper that they were complaining that Nigerians are suffering. Obasanjo said, but Nigerian breweries was the highest profit. You will become restrained. There are job offers. When you look at it, you know that this thing will shape my soul. You will turn your back. You know what you have done by that action? You have cut your hand. The heavens took note of that thing. The action alone is not a sin, but it can lead you into corruption. So you cut your hand. Your feet in this context speaks about your association, speaks about your journey, speaks about everything you allow your corporate persona to enter. And so you would observe consecration around association also. You would observe consecration around the atmosphere you expose your being to. It says if your eye leads you to sin, he says, plug it off. It is better to enter into the kingdom with one eye than to be thrown completely into hell. Listen, let me share something with you. When you hear something, the chance of forgetting what you heard is higher than when you see something. What the devil does very quickly in the days of ignorance is that he uses that opportunity of the days of ignorance to furnish our mind with contents of pollution and defilement, so that on the day where you set an appointment with God and you come and submit under his will, Satan can wave you goodbye and say, oh, we lost another one. But inside his heart, he rejoices because he has an active program. There is a library that he has some content, some books in your shelf. The undoing of the average believer is that he comes to God, but he is still bounded by desires for iniquity. Your mind is like a hard disk. Huh? The fact that you gave your life to Jesus did not change your wardrobe. all the miniskirt is still there. The angels did not rush to your room as you were in front saying, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. The angels didn't run quickly to your wardrobe and began to remove things. They left those things there. In Revelation chapter 3, the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man shall hear my voice, first step, and open the door. See what Jesus said. I will come in and eat with him. Please tell the person by your side, eat with him. So Jesus says, me, I will first eat with him. Then scripture says, and he with me. Is that in your Bible? You know what Jesus was saying there? He says, if any man hears my voice and open the door, me, I will come in and eat anything he serves me. It means I will receive him exactly as he is. I will embrace her as she is. But the relationship will not stop at me receiving you and embracing and accepting you just as you are. Me too, I will serve my own meal. After I will eat with him, he says, and then he with me. So yes, a girl with miniskirt can receive Jesus into her heart. But that miniskirt will not be mini forever. Because the feeding will change. It will not be Jesus eating with her again. It will be her eating with Jesus. At that point where it becomes you eating what Jesus is serving, your salvation begins to reflect on your lifestyle. Now, if you now make lifestyle reflection the core of salvation, you will now miss many people. Because it is after you are done fellowshipping with Jesus, knowing that he had embraced you, it is that love that translates into transformation. But people have not enjoyed that love. I have seen places where people are coming in just because, you know, the lady is probably not dressed like the way she's supposed to dress. Then they send them away. And that is the sinner. I'm not speaking about those who know the rules and regulation and just want to violate it. I'm talking those unbelievers who are trying to touch God for the first time. We have been called into the life of consecration. In Romans chapter 12 verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of the Lord, that you by yourself present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. How do you present your body as a living sacrifice? You see, the challenge is that the sacrifice that is put upon that altar of burnt offering must be killed. But this particular requirement of the kingdom insists that God does not want to take you out of the world yet. It's not time. He still wants you to be here. But he wants you to become an offering while you are here. So you are a sacrifice, but they will not take your life until the appointed time ordained will come. So they say, you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. The challenge with so many of us is that when the fire of the altar becomes intense, we crawl out of the altar. In Psalm 118, verse 27, I believe, the Bible says, bind the sacrifice with cord, even unto the horn of the altar. Because there's a tendency when the fire becomes intense that the sacrifice will want to escape. They say, tie the sacrifice with cords. Tie it to the horn of the altar. You know what it means? It means you must build systems around your life. There are systems of accountability that consecration demands. There are people I report myself to every month. Every month, I give report on three areas. My finances. Number two, my spirituality. And number three, my social life. No girl can wake up any day and say, he asked me out. Or there was something. Like my life is an open book. Time to time, I stand. I'm a young man. And there are thousands of people following us. Sometimes in a week, I'm in four cities.
Sometimes in a week, sometimes in a month, I will sleep on my own bed only 3 times. From one hotel to another. Every time you arrive at the airport, they select the ladies that come to receive you. I'm a young man. I say this as a parable. If I don't have a system of accountability, if I'm not reporting myself to somebody, you know, sin has a gestation period. It starts as a thought, you're contemplating it. Some of the places you go to, came to pass that I was in Botswana and they kept a lady waiting for me in the room. In the guise that she was to dress the room and to inquire if I had any need for any other arrangement that can make my stay comfortable. So she was waiting while I entered the room. It was, I think it's Moana Resort, one of the best tourist attraction of Botswana. In fact, the hotel, before you wake up in the morning, the game reserve is just behind the hotel. So you will see the head of a giraffe passing your window like this. You will appreciate nature. You will momentarily will forget your assignment then. I saw that there was chocolate. They said that one is to calm your nerve. That chocolate has the capacity to calm a person. Just feel at home, sir. So I saw the chocolate arranged. Under my pillow was 3 condoms. It was kept there. So when I wanted to sleep in the night, because I love to hold my pillow, so I now felt something. I checked. What? Listen. Listen. So I removed it from under my, because it would have been that what I put my head on was condom. Now imagine the kind of encounters. So I removed it and I put it in the refuse bin. Something now told me that if you put this in the refuse bin, when they come tomorrow, they'll think you used it. So keep it where they can see it. So I carried it and kept on the table. I went out for first session, came back. When I came back, I saw that now, plus yesterday's 3, they added 3 for today. So it became 6 condoms. They still put it under the pillow. That's when it occurred to me that although I came as a servant of God, there is a subconscious thinking in their heart that I beg, let's not deceive ourselves, we're together. If you are not accountable, if you don't submit yourself to a system of accountability, this is why I don't live alone. I don't live alone. If you come to my house, you will find that there are people who stay with me. The reason is that if I accommodate that arrangement of privacy for 1 minute, what if somebody comes and gives a story that there's no witness to clear? In fact, what Satan needs is just to create a cloud of doubt. That's all. It doesn't have to be actually confirmed. And you will not know how it will spread. That is part of the reasons why I don't travel alone. That is why I can never eat to my satisfaction. I only eat to be healthy now. This is why I fast. Satan can never send me on a fasting errand. It's not nightmare. I'm fasting to keep my body under. Because I know I am flesh and blood. Let nobody lie to everyone. Just give the Satan one small room. He will exploit. So consecration demands that you put in necessary step from your own end as a sign that you are grateful first for your salvation and that you are committed to guard your salvation with fear and trembling. There are many of us here. What you are in need of at this moment is this matter of consecration.
You have associated yourself with God. You have verbally professed that you love Him, but you don't find in your life the capacity to live up to the demand of God. Sin is like impurity. Sin is like germs. When you try to break away from a sin and it continues to have grip over your soul, and it's beginning to look like it is impossible to live outside the control of that particular sin, you would agree with me that there are pathogens, there are germs that are virulent in nature, having capacity to withstand adverse conditions. They can survive some adverse conditions. And since water don't boil until it hits 100 degrees Celsius, there are germs that even if your water got to 50 degrees Celsius, they will still be alive. They are still there. Because that 50 degree can kill others. But they have a track record of following you to anywhere you escape to. So what you need to rid yourself of corruption and anything that has proven too difficult, you need to increase temperature. That 50% that you kept, that you still saw some movements, some movement of passions of iniquity in your vessel, increase temperature. When you hit 100 degrees Celsius, it is there the water will start boiling. When you hit boiling point, anything that crosses there with you is eternal. It's only things that have eternal origin that will remain in your life. Now, not too many people are willing to put in the priesthood requirement to touch that boiling point. Because somebody wants to continue to watch all kinds of movies, you know, watch all kinds of comedy skits. And the average comedy skit is pornography in disguise. The kind of ladies they put there and the concept and the whole idea behind it, you are exposing your mind to corruption. The Bible says, he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. This is what the average Christian does. Entertainment for like 7 hours. And the entertainment of this world is corruption. No spirit is interested in entertaining you. There is nothing like entertainment with spirits. Every content is either edifying your soul or corrupting your soul. In the light of this, you will check everything you have watched. Behind the laugh that you have laughed, there is a subtle message that entered your soul. So we need to intensify our time on the word. We will need to stay more in the particular demand of fasting. The reason why you should fast is that you will have to first study the movement of the devil around your destiny. You will observe that maybe your temptation always comes in the night. When you are done from all your labor, return to the hostel, take your bath, eat something nice, and then suddenly there's a grip of lust upon your soul. You have to alter your routine. The thing you are doing now is that you are trying to restructure so that darkness does not have free course. Maybe you will need to remove your meal from that night. The way we fast from morning, 6 a.m. and break by 6 p.m., you can shift your fasting to night. Anything from 6 p.m., nothing enters your mouth again. I was doing that for months. 6 p.m. is the deadline. It can't. So we shifted base of fasting to the night. The kind of encounters you will touch, because your spirit will journey light. When you enter that mode, the spirits that be will now know that you have made it impossible to fall at that time. They will now move temptation also to your daytime. You too, go and restructure quickly. It's a battle of princes, gods of war. When you are doing this thing, no spirit will help you. This one is consecration. You are the one that is checking where Satan is trying to come from. You set another team to make it. You know, there are people, even if they fall in their heart, they cannot get the opportunity to fall physically. They have surrounded themselves with structures. Where would you see them from first? There are many people here, they are not accountable to anybody. You are like a free course for Satan. Once you begin to speak out, confessing your sins one to another, that the power of an addiction is secrecy. The moment you begin to submit yourself to an authority, your struggle is broken to a high extent. A brother showed me a cut in his hand that he afflicted himself with. He cut his hand and said, "Let this be a reminder that I vow on this day that this body belongs to the Holy Ghost." As noble as that is, before the wound healed, he had gone back. You don't have the capacity to use determination. You are enabled by the Spirit. Then you partner with that enablement by setting structures around your life. This is what you do by plugging off your eye, cutting off your hand, cutting off your feet. All these things are channels. The areas where you know Satan had used to bring you down. He came through here again, cut it off. A particular brother called you and said, "Let's meet." He came as a church brother with tie and started sharing scriptures. But before you knew it, something happened. "Sister, mark him and avoid him." This one is consecration. I don't care whether after what happened, he was crying. That cry is crocodile tears. It's a lie. See, of all the things that sex is not a mistake. There's too much planning that goes into sex. Nobody have sex in the open. So you must first secure a location. A venue will be arranged. So that arrangement for a venue is enough preparation. Number two, your clothes did not disappear from your body. I teach a lot of young people, so I hear things, strange things. So I didn't know how. You didn't know, it's a lie. Or, sometimes the excuse that comes provokes you. Just say, "Sir, everything just happened like a dream." A dream? A dream? Mark them and avoid them. When you begin to do everything at your own control to make sure that you don't create an accommodation, an atmosphere that, you know, gives sin a free course in your life, it makes the labor of the Holy Ghost to keep you standing way much easier. If you are with me, say amen. God has blessed us thus far. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
So, like I began, you are born already. You have arrived time already. The onus is upon you now to maximize the protocols that make for manifestation or remain in this version and go into oblivion. There are too many people. I've seen this narrative play out over, and this is what scares me the most. I've seen people rolling on the ground saying, "Leave me, I will enter the grave with him." And people thought that, oh, this is love. This person cannot move on. This person's life is really tied to this person. In fact, for one of the cases, the people got angry about the drama she was putting up, so they said, "Leave her." And she rode. She came near the grave, the hole. She now stopped. The heart of man will put up any drama, but he is not willing to follow you. There is a place he will stop. I've seen people remove a loved one picture from the sitting room just 1 month after he died. They want to move on quickly. They just put the picture inside one carton somewhere with dust. We have asked people, "Where did you bury?" And they say, "Somewhere around here." They don't even know the spot, the grave. They don't know where it is again.
Glory to God. We trust that you have been blessed by God's word today. Well, you can follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/AnacazoMissionInternational.AMI or join us on our Telegram channel at Anacazo Mission International. You can also download more of our messages on our Telegram channel. Thank you. Remain blessed.